And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipful Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnu Pad, Astotara Satshi Shimat, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our the siblic succession and all the assembled devotees. So sorry I was away for a couple of days. We're very fortunate to be continuing with our study of Sri Jiva Dharma by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jiva Dharma, the intrinsic nature, the only activity, the ever fresh, ever new, forever function of the living entity, which is non different from Prem Dharma or Sanatan Dharma. We're discussing the disciple, Prajna, inquiring from his self-realized Rupanuga spiritual master, Srila Raghunath Das Babaji. And he's asking him, I want to know who I am. Not in relation to the body, but in relation to tattva, or established spiritual truth. So in the course of questioning and answering, we understand from Babaji Maharaja that the living entity was manifest, or is manifest, because in the spiritual realm, there's no past, present, and future as there is in this world. Something that's past doesn't exist anymore, and what's in the future doesn't exist yet. But in the spiritual world, everything is eternal, which means it has no beginning and it has no end, but it doesn't get boring due to its long duration. But rather, every moment is even newer than the previous moment. So something starts, and then next minute it's more fresh, and the next minute it's more fresh. But it has no start. It always was. So there's no question of we, living entities, having been created at any time. We always were. But still, because we're forced to use material language, and we're under the influence of the phantasmagoria of the illusory material energy, we're stuck in our conceptions of words, and we're stuck with these words. So we have to have some words, so we're using the words that have come from our reciprocal succession, so that at least we can have some indication. Gurudev said that even the word tattvasya shakti, tattvasya, is given as an indication. Because actually, there's no geographical area called tattvasya that is in between the material and spiritual world. The jiva is also ultimately chit shakti, which is the spiritual shakti. Sometimes the chit shakti is said to be a manifestation of the swarup shakti, the complete intrinsic internal transcendental energy of the Supreme Lord. And sometimes the chit shakti is used synonymously with swarup shakti. Either way, the jiva is ultimately chit shakti, because the jiva is chit. He's conscious. He's not inert. But he's called tattvasya because a significant meaning of the word tattvasya is sta, place, ta, ta, which means the shoreline. He's spiritual, but sometimes he's covered by the inferior, inert matter, and therefore he's called tattvasya, because he can either go either way, due to his minuteness and due to his minute independence. So as you remember, we were reading that Krishna, when he establishes himself in his various energies or potencies or shaktis, he manifests his own swarup, or his own form and nature accordingly. When he's situated in his chit shakti, he manifests his own form as Krishna or Narayan in Vrindavan or in Vaikuntha. When he's situated in his jiva shakti, and all the other powers or shaktis are hidden, and he's alone with his tattvasya shakti, then he manifests his swarup as Baladev. Baladev personally manifests the nitya, mukta, parikar, jivas. Nitya means eternal, mukta means liberated, parikar means associate, and jiva means living entity. He manifests the eternally liberated associate of the Lord. They're technically called jivas, but no one calls them jivas there. I'm sorry that Shyam Prabhu isn't here, because we finally got from Gurudev the answer to his question and my question, which is that, is it that the Bivananta jivas, that is, there's two expansions of Krishna, Svamsa, coming from his swarup shakti, his plenary portions, his incarnations, like Nisringa, Varaha, Ram, and Mahavishnu, Narayan, and his infinitesimal separated parts and parcels called Bhivannamsa, Jeev. As you remember from our first hearing the list of the 10 principles, the 10 truths, we learn that the jiva, there's two kinds of jivas. One is bound by maya and one is liberated. And these jivas are his Bhivannamsa tattva, or his infinitesimal, that is infinite number, infinitesimal in size. Like Prabhupada once said, the difference between God and a living entity, our problem, is that God is infinite and we are infinitesimal or infinitesimal. So, and there are infinite of us. So the separated, that means not plenary expansion, the separated parts and parcels are called Bhivannamsa. So Gurudev said that technically speaking, you can say that the jivas that Balaram manifests in Goloka Vrindavan, and that Lord Narayan, or Mahasankarshan, the expansion of Baladev, manifests in Vaikuntha. That Mool Sankarshan, that is Baladev in Dwarka or Mathura. Technically you can say, he said, that the jiva that manifests by Baladev or Narayan is also Bhivannamsa, the Bhivannamsa jiva. The infinitesimal separated part and parcel. But then Gurudev said, "So we will never call them that. We will always call them the eternally liberated associates of the Lord." You remember we discussed the other day how because matter is a vitiated reflection, perverted reflection of spirit. Therefore, even though matter and material examples are defective, still it's helpful in having an indication of the reality of jiva. Do you all remember the example of Satachandra Nyai? Or the example of the moon on the branch? Can anyone repeat it? Or can anyone just raise your hand that you remember it? Now can you repeat it? Loudly? Indication. And what you tell, what the mother's going to tell to the child when he's 5 years old, and what the mother is going to tell to the child when he grows up to be an adult, is going to be two different things. As a young adult, you give him a book where he'll read that the moon is further away than the sun, and it's bigger than the sun. And the people who live there are all heavenly beings. So the Siddhanta is presented differently to different persons who have different qualifications. But still, and always, material language is effective. But still, that's all we have to use, so we use it. And it's helpful. So now we're coming to the end of this chapter. Oh, an example that how even though all the commonalities aren't there, you can still use material examples, analogies. Like we say that the Swarup Shakti, if you're comparing Krishna to the sun, then the Swarup Shakti controls or supervises or maintains, manifests, coordinates all the activities within the sun, or within the spiritual realm. Then, outside the sun, there's the sun's rays. Are you all feeling this fan? You're all getting the benefit of it? And what? You're welcome to move closer if you like. It makes a difference, doesn't it? So then we think we're all right, but it's just illusion. Prabhupada gives the example that if a person is in a snowstorm, and then he comes in the house and closes the door behind him and goes, oh, what a relief. It's not really happiness. It's just a momentary relief, apparent relief of the suffering. Real happiness is eternal. And that can only be spiritual happiness. So you remember the example, the analogy of the water. You say milk is just like water. It's just too thin. It's not exactly like water, otherwise it would be water. But we give some analogy when there are sufficient similarities. Then we discussed in our last class how Brajanath is asking, the living entity is different from the Supreme Lord and the same. Can you tell exactly how he's different and how he's the same? So Babaji Maharaj was saying that Krishna is the knower, he's the enjoyer, he has his own desires, his own independence, he self-manifests, and a living entity is too. The difference is that he's infinite, we're infinitesimal, that he's the controller of Maya, and we have a tendency to come under the control of Maya. From the qualitative perspective of chit, or conscious, there's oneness between us and Krishna. But from the perspective of quantity, there's a vast difference. Then Rajnath is asking him to explain a little more clearly about the nature of the jiva. And he's explaining that just as we have parts of our body that are placed in such a way that it looks very attractive. Can you imagine having one eye here and one eye down there, just under your shoulder? And then your nose on the other shoulder, how weird that would look. So similarly, the spiritual body, our spiritual body, has all the integral parts in exactly the right place to look very beautiful. And the difference is that instead of being made of pus, blood, stew, and urine, and being a perversion of what we really look like, our real form is made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And when we being situated in the Tuchesta region, look towards this Maya, and Maya immediately covers us with a subtle body of mind, intelligence, contaminated consciousness, and false ego. And the gross body, which is made of 5 gross elements. Now we're coming to the next chapter, chapter 16. And this chapter is called The Jiva and Maya, How and Why We Came Here. What's the use? What is the benefit of hearing all this? The benefit and the use is that if I don't think of the facts, then I have to think of the illusion. And then I become very ungrateful. I consider myself the victim of circumstances. I consider my suffering caused by other people. I want to take revenge. I become angry. I become fearful. Whereas if I know, even theoretically, who I am and why I came here, then I develop a sense of proper thinking, which translates into proper willing, proper feeling, and then proper acting. Because our happiness or distress simply depends on our proper or improper use of our independence. So proper knowledge gives freedom from suffering. As Śrīla Vyāsadeva explained to Bhagavatam in the first canto, first chapter, the Srimad Bhagavatam is understood by devotees who are pure in heart. This transcendental literature is the reality distinguished from the illusion for the welfare of all. And this truth, or knowledge of reality, uproots the threefold miseries. So now, Rajneesh has heard all this wonderful established spiritual truth from his spiritual master, and then he went home. And when he was lying in bed to go to sleep, he couldn't fall asleep at all. He was just meditating. He's setting the example for us of what is a disciple, to meditate constantly on the instructions of the Sri Guru. He's thinking, I'm a tamas by nature, but I have my own inherent value, my own purpose, my own knowledge, my own very beautiful form. I have the swarup of a spiritual particle called Chitkana, very, very infinitesimal spiritual particle. But even though it's infinitesimal, it's just a particle, it's very similar in its constitution to Krishna's own form. Even though I have that form, I can't see it. Only a fortunate, self-realized soul can see it. So now I really want to know why I'm suffering. If this is who I really am, why am I suffering in this world? So thinking like that, he fell asleep. And when he was dreaming that he was leaving the world and accepting the dress of a Vaishnava. See, in those days, first they would become a Vaishnava, and then they would put on the dress of a Vaishnava and the markings of a Vaishnava. But as our Srila Prabhupada said for us, first you sit on the judge's bench and then the qualifications come. So first we're going through the motions of being a Vaishnava and dressing like one, because we need the assistance to remind us. So as he was thinking like this, he thought when he woke up, oh, I think this means that soon Krishna is going to pull me out of the material world. It's stated in the Bhagavatam that the soul is wandering through many millions of species of life. And when his material existence is going to soon be terminated, the symptom is that he gets sadhusanga. So that morning, his students came to him, ready to learn their lessons, because he was a teacher of Nyaya, or logic, trying to figure out the material world and the spiritual world, all by logic and argument, which can actually never touch spirit. So his students came and said, well, here we are, and we hope that you can teach us Nyaya Pushamanjali today. So he said, I'm sorry, but I won't be able to teach you anymore, because I just can't concentrate on these things anymore. You can see, by experiencing a higher taste, one naturally gives up the lower taste. I've decided to take another path. So under these circumstances, I suggest that you find another teacher. So the students were quite miserable, but there was nothing they could do. Couldn't change him, so they left. So just about that time, somebody came to his house to present a proposal to his grandmother and to the other elderly ladies in his house for his marriage. And the person came and said, do you know Vijayanath Bhattacharya? He's very well-to-do, very high-cultured man. His daughter is qualified and beautiful, and she'll be a perfect match for your son. And he's not making any conditions. However you want the marriage situation to be, that's how it will be. So Brajanath got wind of this, and this brought him great distress. And he thought, I'm planning to leave the world, and they're talking about my marriage. So then a fierce argument ensued. All of the ladies of the house on one side, all of the relatives, and he alone on the other side, each giving their very strong argument. So then it took hours, this argument took hours, and then it began to rain all throughout the rest of the day and the night. So he couldn't go to see his Gurudev in Mayapur. His Gurudev was staying in near Shiva's Angam, which is right near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace, and many of you have been there. So the next day he went there, and his Gurudev said, so it was raining heavily yesterday, so I guess that's the reason you didn't come. And he said, well, I'm having a little bit of a problem, and I'll tell you about that later. But what I really would like to know from you now is how do we become entangled in this miserable material world, which is really the heart of the matter. So Babaji smiled and said, and he recited a verse, which I'm going to read to you. By his original nature, the jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna. His swarup dharma, that is the inherent and only and eternal, intrinsic, natural function of his soul, is service to Krishna. If he's doing anything else, he's going to go mad, like we have. Bhagavan's illusory energy, called Maya, which is like a phantasm. Phantasm is like some weird lantern show with all these illusory lights and colors and things that don't really exist, that show all these phantasmagoric forms. The Lord's illusory energy, Maya, punishes those jivas who are opposed to him and who have given up their constitutional dharma. Now, again, we're dealing with words, we're dealing with language. When it says he gave it up, the jiva gave up his constitutional dharma, it doesn't mean that he was experiencing his constitutional dharma and was in Goloka Vrindavan, and then he said, well, I don't like it here so much, I have to be a servant of Krishna. Let me try to decide myself. That's not how it went. But you have to use language. So when it says given up for God, originally he was this, and then he fell down and became that. Those are words, but no one word explanation can give it as it really is. Because you can't forget what you haven't experienced, and yet the word forget is used, because there's no other word. It's there. Krishna consciousness is there in potency in our soul, by constitution. But still we have never experienced it. Just like you could say, almond milk is there in the almond. But it's not that it was milk and then it became the almond and then it has to become the milk again. So, it's intrinsically there. Butter is in milk. By a process, the butter comes out. But it's not that before it was butter and then it became milk and now it has to revive its butter in nature. But still the word for revive is used, it is no other word. If you're going to use a single word. So Bhagavan's illusory energy, Maya, punishes those jivas who are opposed to him and who have given up their constitutional dharma, being absorbed in material enjoyment. She binds them with the rope of the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Even goodness is not good, really. Because in the material world, there's no pure goodness. It's always mixed with passion and ignorance. Like if somebody's acting good in this world, so-called good, it's because he has a motive of exploitation, manipulation, profit adoration, and distinction. So she binds them with the ropes of material, three modes of material nature, and covers them with a gross and subtle body, It's stated in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the soul is embarrassed by non-manifestation. Isn't that interesting? The soul is carrying the burden of so much heavy paraphernalia. What paraphernalia? The gross body and the subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego. And he's embarrassed by non-manifestation. So if you're ever feeling embarrassed, you'll know why. So she covers them with gross and subtle bodies and puts them in the miserable cycle of karma and forces them to suffer happiness and distress in heaven and hell. Do you know what a ferris wheel is? Janava knows, because she's from Australia. Where are you from? Huh? That's a good answer. You don't know what a ferris wheel is? You know when you go to a kid's carnival and they have this thing and you sit, there's seats all up, all around this round thing, and then it starts turning and the seats go up and down. So Maya sends a living entity sometimes to heaven and sometimes to hell. So that's the verse. And we'll hear from Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya tomorrow to explain how different living entities are manifest from different incarnations of God and why. And then why they're suffering. Why Krishna had to give them independence, us, independence, and our small nature so that we misuse it easily and we have to suffer. Couldn't he have figured out an easier way? We'll find all that out tomorrow. And Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Panchakova Trivyastra Krishna Vyaga Chakra Yo. Namo Namaha. We're starting now? Oh, we have a minute or two. Kirtan? 2 minute kirtan?
This is the shyest temple I've ever seen. Everybody's so shy. But it's a good quality for a lady. Protects her.